the client is likely to have, and do what you can to prevent them. Why? Well, you can't react as well to things that may happen during their training. Think of it this way. It's like trying your luck on the Olympic diving platform when you've never so much as jumped off a 1-meter springboard at your local rec center. Sure, you might figure out a thing or two on the way down, but imagine the pain if you don't. One belly flop from 10 meters will ensure you never try anything that scary again. Training clients in person is the equivalent of figuring things out on that low board before you take your chances on the platform. Do that for a solid 1 to 3 years and you'll be ready for the next step towards freedom. What online training isn't. You've no doubt seen and heard about all the juicy financial possibilities of online training. One of my goals with the Wealthy Fit Pro Guides is to be honest and transparent with you at all times. So you should know up front that I don't view online training as a way to magically make boatloads of cash with very little work. If only, right? In the past, people have accused me of turning online training into a commodity. Just another offering that has you trading dollars per hour similar to a gym. That's not even close to the truth. I view online training as a way to make life better for even more clients. People who might not engage with a professional coach otherwise. For them, it's nothing but positives. It's more convenient, potentially cheaper, and just as beneficial as in person. It benefits you too. I think every Fit Pro should have an online component. It is a tool to fight back against the sometimes abusive fitness industry. Online training can be a fantastic path to whatever you do in the industry, and to the kind of life you want outside of it. But as you'll soon see, it doesn't have to be all that you do. It creates space for you to explore multiple options. Sure, you can scale it to make tons of money, and maybe that will come later. Or maybe you'll write a book. Maybe you'll be happy just making a few thousand more each month because that means that you have more time for your spouse, partner, kids, family, church, or golf league. Or maybe you want to start a gym and build up some bottom line revenue before opening your doors to give your facility a better chance. Just like Online Trainer Academy graduate Malcolm Wilson. He wanted to open up a gym, but had just become a dad and was working 60-hour weeks. He also wanted to be with his family during this magical time. He swapped out long days in the gym for 10 hours a week training in home and 5 hours training online. Then, a year later, he founded Level Up Fitness, his gym in Stratford, Connecticut. You can read Malcolm's story at onlinetrainer.com/Malcolm. I don't know what freedom means to you, but I do know two things. Happy is a nebulous term that means something different for everybody. And making 6 figures, well, it sounds nice, is a vague, meaningless goal that really doesn't contribute to happiness. Naturally, if you ask people what they want in life, many will say to get rich. Most would prefer happiness. The two are not the same. The more researchers study happiness, the less we understand about it, but a few things are pretty certain. Number one, as long as our basic needs and loved ones are taken care of, money has almost nothing to do with it. In 2010 in the US, $75,000 a year was the magic number. The study, performed by Nobel Prize winning economists at Princeton University, was called High Income Improves Evaluation of Life, but Not Emotional Well-Being. Since 2010, the results have held up with one exception. That was a 2017 Harvard study which found increased levels of emotional well-being in people who have more than $10 million as long as they earned it, i.e. it wasn't inherited. Interestingly, the one thing these decamillionaires do that makes them happier is they give their money away. It's probably a bit more now, but even that number is arbitrary because it really depends on where you live. It usually takes less to live comfortably in a small town, for example. And lots more if you live in a big city like New York or San Francisco. Number two, maintaining a sense of purpose throughout life leads to fulfillment and longevity. In the now famous studies of blue zones, the areas of the world where people live the longest, a sense of purpose is one of the commonalities for folks living past 100. Now, I've lived in Nosara, Costa Rica, near Playa Plata and Playa Guiones beaches, right smack dab in one of those blue zones called the Nicoya Peninsula. And I've seen how the residents do their thing. Retirement really isn't a concept there. The elderly are revered and nobody stops moving. The only people vegging out on the beach are the gringos on vacation trying to get away from their lives. Kind of makes a guy think. Number three. We overestimate both the intensity and duration of a positive emotional response after buying something, a new car, for example. As Katherine Sanderson, a psychology professor at Amherst, explained in a 2017 Time magazine article, we always think that if we had a little bit more money, we'd be happier. But when we get there, we're not. Our enjoyment of new material things lasts about 2 weeks,